There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
And now I need to tell you what we're going to be talking about. And I'm going to do it in the form of a clue. It is a truth universally acknowledged that a book show with a good Austin fan must be in want of nothing. What happens if you combine Jane Austen and Pakistan? Joining us all the way from Sharjah International Book Fair today, we have the lovely Laleen Sukeira. Welcome to the show.
Hi, it's so great to meet you in person.
It is, because we've spoken over the phone on this show very briefly, and we did not have enough time to go through all the topics that we needed to address. So it's really nice to actually have you in the studio. You're the curator of and co-contributor to the book that we're going to be discussing today, Austenistan. So it's a Jane Austen-inspired anthology. How did this come about?
So we have a small literary society called the Jane Austen Society of Pakistan. And, you know, many of us were aspiring writers. And by aspiring, I mean aspiring fiction writers. We've come from the world of nonfiction, like journalism, academia. And then there's some lawyers and medical professionals, for example, doctors among us as well. And we had neither of us had really delved into fiction as such. And we sort of took strength in one another, and we didn't take it very seriously either. We just wrote it for ourselves and for the joy of reading and writing, pretty much. And we were just very fortunate that the synergy was so fantastic and the concept seemed so strong that it just took on like wildfire.
Because it got picked up by Bloomsbury India, didn't
yes,
it? That's it,
yes.
The publisher.
Our publisher is Faiza. She's with Bloomsbury India as well as Bloomsbury UK. So we just launched in London a few days ago as well at the Dorchester.
Well, that's exciting. Was it a good do?
It was. Actually, it was organized by Developments in Literacy, who mm-hmm. they do really important work funding education for underprivileged children. And so it was an honor to be invited. And the audience was wonderful as well. And I'm actually going to be signing some books tomorrow at Al Ravi in Sharjah.
So anyone can go along there if they'd like to get the book signed. What time is that? Do
absolutely.
You know?
It's right before my flight. So I would say I will be my suitcase will be with me. I think it's about 4 to 6 p.m. But
okay,
if you look them up on Instagram, you'll get the details.
Perfect.
And the Sharjah Lit Fest, the Sharjah Book Fair has been a wonderful experience as well. Our panel there wasn't Jane Austen based, but it was about genres in it was about social issues across popular fiction genres. And so it was great. We agreed to disagree and it was wonderful. And it wasn't even a manual. There was a great female representation.
I like that. It wasn't a manual. We actually asked our followers on Instagram what they thought, because Jane Austen is how many years old now?
Well, her 200th death anniversary happened a year ago. So I think she would be, if she were alive and a vampire, she would be maybe turning 244 this winter, this December.
Sounds about right.
So we asked about the relevance of Jane Austen. Do you think that Jane Austen is still relevant today? We had 9 votes for yes and 4 votes for no. And I was obviously the yeses are always going to outweigh the noes, I think, when it comes to Jane Austen. But I remember this from the foreword to Austenistan, which is by Caroline Jane Knight. Now, before I read the excerpt that I want to, who is Caroline Jane Knight?
So Caroline J. Knight is one of Austen's descendants through her brother, so a fifth great niece. And she runs, she lives in Melbourne and she runs an organization called the Jane Austen Literacy Foundation, which is doing wonderful work. And we actually had another of her descendants who's an author, Rebecca Smith. And she attended our Dorchester do and she spoke as well. So, and I've actually had the opportunity to meet a third descendant in Washington, D.C. when I spoke there for JASNA. And so it's a very small connected world. We all kind of know each other in different countries and continents.
Which is very fitting when you're talking about Jane Austen, which is what the books feel like in terms of how the characters all know each other. The very small
That's
world.
True. It's a small world, but she's become so universal and she's become such a postmodern pop icon that I feel that she isn't just, you know, like an an anonymous writer, an English lady living in a country village. She's this international superstar. And, you know, we pretty much think she's one of our own as well.
The bit that I wanted to read out from the foreword, which I think sums this up, is when Caroline J. Knight says, "Almost every Austen reader I speak to can clearly relate to the essence of her characters, skillfully painted in often just a few carefully chosen words of dialogue. In some countries, readers experience similar predicaments to the women in Jane's novels, with limited rights, independence and earning opportunities. Others can relate to the social norms and family expectations around the finding of a suitable husband. Whatever the personal connection, Jane's work brings people together in a mutual admiration and enjoyment of her work." And I thought that summed it up really nicely. The Jane Austen Society of Pakistan, before we get into talking about Austenistan in detail, which I do want to, it mentions that there are all these sorts of gatherings that you read about in places like Bath in particular, where people kind of dress up and meet and talk about Jane Austen. Does that sort of thing happen with the Jane Austen Society of Pakistan as well?
Well, we do engage in cosplay once or twice a year. But yeah, this is something that happens at Comic-Con, so why not us? But apparently, Bath and Louisville, Kentucky in the United States compete for the largest number of dressed up visitors at their respective Jane Austen Regency weeks.
The Louisville, Kentucky one's a bit bizarre. Bath I can get.
Well, it's apparently a big thing there. It's been going on for a while.
It's brilliant.
There's some real, really strong enthusiasts there.
I think I found my next travel destination. I'm just thinking, Louisville, Kentucky.
I know my husband's been there years ago and he really loved it. So I might jot that down as a...
I've never been myself, but I haven't been to the Regency Weeks yet. Yeah. But I love
He didn't
that.
Go to the Regency Week, no. Just to clarify. Just, not yet. It was a business trip, but...
So, Austenistan, this collection, how many stories are we looking at in the book? And are they all set in contemporary Pakistan? How have you taken Jane Austen as the theme?
Well, what we did was we kept it quite fluid. So some of the stories are more heavily inspired by Austen's settings and characters, and others are a little more subtle in their take. Some of them are inspired by certain scenes or certain lines, for example. Or situations. All of them are set in contemporary Lahore, Islamabad, Karachi, with a bit of England thrown in as well. One of the stories is set in 1989, and the rest are present day. So it's a mix. There's a lot of Pride and Prejudice in there. There's Lady Susan in there as well, and there's Emma.
I thought it was interesting as I was reading the stories that it wasn't, because we were talking off air, weren't we, about the Jane Austen project?
We were.
Which has kind of updated each individual Jane Austen novel into a modern day setting. And they've been a bit hit and miss, in my opinion.
They have, and I was disappointed with them. I was Mrs. Disappointed of Dubai with those, I must admit, because I was expecting something. They don't know, they just didn't quite
work. They didn't fit, they felt very forced.
And at this, Austenistan,
yeah.
I think... It sounds quite bizarre, listeners, I'm sorry, but it translates really well to Pakistan. And I sort of picked it up thinking, what?
Yeah, I approached this with trepidation and I was just thoroughly enjoying it.
And read the first story and thought, yes, absolutely perfect. I love the Dubai Banker Boys.
That's right, our opening story. It's written by my sister Malia.
They're all really good.
That's the scary part. We didn't really have to try very hard.
No.
It was just, we feel like we live in Austen's world in so many ways, the good and the bad. So it was just, it didn't require much of a stretch.
No, so in a strange and lovely way, for me, this was just so much better than the Austen Project books. But don't tell anyone.
She says, live on air.
Oops.
The other thing that I really enjoyed when I was reading them, because you say there's a lot of Pride and Prejudice in there, because it's kind of, it's the big favourite, isn't it? As is Emma. But you've taken different aspects or different key themes from Pride and Prejudice. And one in particular that I really enjoyed was we got to see Caroline Bingley's side of things, which is something that I've often felt I wanted from the original a bit more. That was never delivered.
Yeah, so Sanya, my friend Sanya Gohar, she's actually, we started the society together. So she was with me when we both dressed up like eccentric ladies the very first time.
Did you have the gorgeous frocks?
We did. We had our updos as
that
well.
Empire waistline.
But it was so easy. You just wore ballet flats. You just do a top knot. You just wear an empire waist. You know, you just create an empire waist by tying something around a maxi. It's so easy. And the shawls come from our part of the world. And so does the jewelry. So does the fabric. So it was just things we found in our wardrobe.
You should have come on here before Halloween.
Maybe next time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, her story was a take on Caroline Bingley, a sympathetic take. And some of our stories do show Darcy in a different light. I mean, we are all, of course, madly in love with him. But there, you know, he is a socially awkward character. He is reluctant to dance, which Gayatri Varnasuriya also talks about in her story, which is set in the at the British High Commission in Islamabad. So her Darcy is actually English, and his name is Hugo. And he doesn't want, I mean, they're already married, but he doesn't want to dance anymore.
Yeah, that's what I thought was interesting as well. You've got Darcy and Elizabeth, but like at different stages in the relationship and kind of what happened after Pemberley, which I thought was really
absolutely
interesting.
And speaking of Pemberley, so that's one of the things that inspired my story. You see a Pemberley-like house, and, you know, it's the character was about to be introduced to this very eligible young man, the heir to a halal burger franchise in England. And I know when we when I read this out in London, there was a lot of laughter and there were a lot of nodding of heads. So basically she goes there and he's perfect on paper, but he's absolutely appalling in real life.
He's awful in person.
He's more like Mr. Collins.
I thought it was Mr. Collins.
And the question arises, I mean, would you marry Mr. Collins if he had Pemberley? Or would you marry Mr. Darcy if he didn't?
No. I wouldn't marry either of them. And we were talking about whether or not, because yours poses the question whether we would prefer Mr. Collins if he owned Pemberley over Mr. Darcy if he didn't.
Yes, wasn't that part of Darcy's charm? I mean, he was a tall, handsome man. And, you know, he moved mountains to get Elizabeth. Moving mountains, meaning put up with her family and, you know, Lydia's disgrace. But if Lizzie hadn't seen Pemberley, would it have been different?
Because doesn't she ask that question? I must date it to seeing his grounds at Pemberley. See, I don't know how much of it is actually in the novel and how much of it is the Colin Firth 1995 BBC
blurring
series.
Into one.
Yeah, exactly.
But Austen was a realist, and her heroines were feminists. As are ours, but they navigate social realities of that time as our heroines do of this time. So in that way, you know, that's another parallel. And she always talked about what people were worth, their financial worth, and just the realities of the time. But she did it in such a way that it didn't take from the entertainment value of the novels. And that's something that people sometimes misjudge. People who haven't read her properly, they just dismiss her sometimes as froth. But she certainly isn't. She's quite an important writer, not just for that time, but for this time, especially those of us who can still relate to her.
There's a story we mentioned that is sympathetic to Caroline Bingley, or an alternative, a character representing Caroline Bingley.
Yes, Carmilla.
Carmilla, there we go. And I wondered if in the original novel, because Jane Austen's quite sparse, we get a beautiful story, but I always feel going back to it that there's more I want to know, that I would like to uncover more about certain characters. Is there a character that you wish had been fleshed out more, that you want to know more about?
Oh my God, there's so many. This is so hard to choose. And there's a whole world of fan fiction out there, all types.
I'm resisting it because I feel like I will never get my life back.
So I feel like a lot of characters have these interesting backstories, and, you know, that's why we did this. We wanted to just wonder what it would be like to take them out of their place and their time and just put them in ours. And that's what we did. So I feel like there's a lot more stories out there. We had a whole pool of stories. Our publisher selected 7. But, you know, there were others as well. Sense and Sensibility, Mansfield Park, Persuasion.
So is there an Austenistan 2 that we can expect?
I don't know. It depends if any would like to make an offer, perhaps. But we've had so many requests from readers demanding to either get like full full-length novels for each story or sequels. And then they ask us, oh, so what really happened? And then, you know, we sometimes answer and sometimes we say, well, we left it ambiguous on purpose.
I think that part of the reason why I like this so much was also because they were bite-sized snapshots. And I think that's also why I didn't like the Jane Austen project ones.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they work so much better as the short stories. And yeah, it's odd. And I'm sure listeners will think we're just saying it just because we've maybe got Laleen in the studio.
But no, genuinely, feel free to criticise.
No, I came to it thinking, and went away thinking, whoa, this is really good. And it's a perfect match.
I was hoping it would be in the bookshops here.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
okay. So if
a lot of people have been asking. And
okay, so if you need a copy of Austenistan, edited by Laleen Sakira, go to Magruder's, and if they haven't got it on the shelves, ask them to get you a copy. Because they'll do that. You know, that certainly Magruder's will order anything that you want. So go and test them, because I genuinely recommend it. It's a great read.
Oh, thank you so much. But I'm really impressed with, you know, I do come to Dubai every now and then, but this time I came for a different reason. And I was really impressed with the cultural and educational advancements in the last few years alone. And I would love to come back and, you know, speak to teenagers especially. We have a particular relationship with them because they turned out to be our biggest demographic. So I would love to speak at schools, universities, etc.
Reading the stories, that makes sense. That makes
sense. Yes, it does.
Sense.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah, it's funny what you were saying about, you know, do you choose Pemberley or, you know, what's going to sway you? I reckon that's an age thing, because I'm sitting here thinking, Mr. Collins, but I get Pemberley. Wow. Annabelle's no.
You see,
I'm taking Mr. Darcy.
You see, that's about sort of like swiping left or right in real life.
Absolutely.
I'll take the
house every time.
Just a side note, if you have the time, there is somewhere online someone has made fake like Tinder profiles for each of the Jane Austen characters.
No, oh yes.
And it's very funny if anyone has the time or inclination to look that up. No, I definitely choose Darcy over Mr. Collins, but preferably I choose neither of them.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, likewise. But, you know, I do love houses.
You prefer Wickham, of course.
No.
Oh.
That's insulting. Live on air. Oh, my goodness.
He's kind of has his charm.
No.
At the beginning, before you know more about him,
before
maybe.
You know that he's awful.
Maybe, yeah.
No, my favourite Austen hero has always been Frederick Wentworth. I don't think anyone
his
compares.
Letter writing skills are unparalleled.
Exactly. Darcy's letter pales in comparison. Darcy overall pales in comparison.
I would have to agree.
Okay. But is Darcy still your favourite hero?
He's still my favourite, because I do find him the most attractive. But I have a favourite cad as well, Willoughby. I find Willoughby very romantic, but of course he turns out to be
awful.
Not quite, yeah.
Yeah.
I still prefer him to Colonel Brandon.
Oh my gosh, Laleen.
But listeners who haven't read the entire Jane Austen canon, that's your challenge for the next year. And meanwhile, just enjoy Austenistan.
Yes, exactly. But enough about the heroes. Who are our favourite heroines? Because the heroines make the novels.
Well, Lizzie Bennet was far ahead of her time. You know, she was fun. She was fearless. She could look Lady Catherine in the eye and just be sassy right back to her.
Even with her petticoat 6 inch deep in mud.
That's
indeed.
Right. She, you know, she didn't get intimidated by Darcy and Caroline Bingley's comments at all. She always held her own, even though her social position was precarious. And she was very honest when she admitted she hadn't received a formal education. And, you know, they were self-taught, and she wasn't particularly proficient in the pianoforte, etc. But I do admire Emma Woodhouse, and I actually relate to her quite a bit. I know she's not a very likable heroine because she feels she's a bit of a know-it-all, but she likes to play Cupid. She's genuinely fond of her friends, and she's not really looking to make a match to advance herself. She doesn't need to. She's very secure in that. And I've always liked that about her, and I've always sort of related to that as well.
What about you, Yvette?
Lizzie Bennet.
Lizzie all the way.
All the way. Yeah. Yeah, afraid so. There's nothing else to say, just Lizzie Bennet.
Probably the same.
Yeah, good.
Oh, Eleanor Dashwood. as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you an older sister by any chance? Do you have a younger sister?
No, I'm an only child. But I think that might be
You'd
part
like
of
to
the
be
reason.
That only that older sister.
Yes. Well, no, because then if you were Eleanor, you would have to look after Marianne. And then it's the question, would you rather be the younger sister that drives the older sister crazy or the sensible older sister? So many questions that Jane Austen poses. But reminders, it's Austenistan. If we want a copy, we can go to Magrudy's
and check the bookshops here out. I'm not sure what is available, but Kino, Magrudy's, any of them should be able to get hold of it for you. And it's well worth a read.
It is. And it's also available online, I believe.
Yes, it is. It's online. Bloomsbury has our World English Rights. So.
Excellent.
Thank you so much for joining us in the studio. If we want to see you somewhere, you've got another event, I think, happening.
Yes, tomorrow, the book signing at Al Ravi in Sharjah.
Okay, so if you want to see Laleen and meet her, a book signing at Al Ravi in Sharjah.
And they'll
is
have the book.
Yes, definitely.
They should, because I'm supposed to be signing something.
Thank you so much for joining us.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.